Don't be shy, my soul. There is a lion in there. That's autobiography song, isn't it? Yeah. I remember when you wasn't even in the choir. So the next time you're tempted not to do something, think about all the blessing that that is to the folks here. And not just you, that's to everybody who has a gift, and the devil don't want you to use it to be a blessing. Did anybody not enjoy that song? If you'd raise your hand. I don't see a hand, so. Yeah. Open your Bibles to the book of Psalm 65. While you're doing that, I want to welcome those of you that are joining us on our YouTube channel and listening in on our website, audio portion of it. Thank you for finding us and for worshiping. Those of you that are in our congregation that are sick and listening in, we miss you. And we're praying that the Lord will get you back very quickly. Verse 11, Psalm 65, verse 11, thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. Well, what a verse for a new year. And by the way, a blessed and joyous new year to all of you. I pray that's what it will be this year. For some folks, though, it's just another day on the calendar. I think you're missing out on the joy of life that the Lord has given us. But to those who see each day as a gift from God and a new adventure, January 1 is an exciting day. This is our first Sunday of the new year, the second day, but it's almost like the first day of the new year for our church. In case you didn't know it, we have just finished a trip of 584 million miles. We've went completely in a year's time around the sun. I know it doesn't feel like it, but we're standing or sitting on a vehicle that's traveling over 66,000 miles per hour through space. And that's not all. Not only are we traveling on a 12-month circuit around the sun, but we're doing it on a spinning, wobbling top. The Earth rotates on its axis every 24 hours at about 700 miles an hour. At our latitude, and on the equator, I think it's about 1,000 miles an hour spinning. And then there's the tilt up and down of 24 degrees every 6 months, giving us the four seasons. So we're spinning around in a circle, tilting back and forth while flying through space, and you don't even seem excited. That's why we have days, weeks, months, seasons, and years. And if you don't think that it matters to recognize that, I would ask you to please consider Psalm 90, verse 12, which says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." Number our days. For me, this is day 24,161. For Midge, it's 364,900. Well, my calculator wouldn't go that far. The end of the year and the beginning of a new year is a milestone. It's a good place to pause and to glance back and to look forward. How is the dream advancing of your vision that the Lord has given of His will for your life? Have you got to the place where you can measure it? Do you know what God's will is for your life? If you're saved and you don't know that, that should be the first priority. Lord, why did you create me? Why did you save me? What is it you want me to be doing on a daily basis that you're holding me accountable for that I'm going to have to answer to you one day? If you don't know what that is, you're freewheeling. You're just reacting to circumstances and you're planning your own life according to your will. And that never produces happiness. It never produces contentment. There is no fulfillment. What you're trying to get out of the world, what you're trying to get out of a human relationship, what you're trying to get from a career or from the pursuit of wealth, it will never give you the contentment, the peace, and the joy that a close and personal relationship with Jesus Christ can give you, and then following Him and following His will for your life. How much have you grown spiritually this past year? With children, you can put a mark on the wall on top of their head in January, and then December 31st, put another mark, and you can see the physical growth. Can we do that spiritually? Are we more Christ-like today than we were last January the 1st? You've hopefully completed your 66-book journey from Genesis to Revelation, and it's time to move the book marker from Revelation 22 back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 1. It takes about 20 minutes a day. And that's if you read at the pace that I'm talking right now. It'll take you about 20. If you read faster, it'll take you less time than that. I don't believe 20 minutes a day committed to reading God's Word is too much. I really don't. If you think about how much time we waste during the day anyway. 20 minutes. What you do is you take the total number of pages in your Bible and divide by 365, and you'll get about 20 minutes a day of reading. If you do that every day, by December 31st, you will have completed the entire Bible. And then what you do is the next year you do it again. It gives Brother Kevin, your faith, a firmer foundation to operate from. Because faith only responds to God's word. You can only initiate faith in what God has said. You cannot initiate and cause faith to function and operate when you place it on a person or on a place or on an object or in an institution, or even on yourself. That's trust, that's hope, but it's not faith. Faith is a unique gift from God that gives us the ability to take God's word and allow the Holy Spirit to make these letters living words that come alive in our heart and in our understanding, that we can apply it to everyday situations in our life. So, faithfully reading and being exposed to God's Word is hearing the voice of God. And in almost every case, it's hearing the answer to the prayer that you speak to Him. He answers almost every time through His Word. Now, he has to answer sometimes in circumstances because we don't give Him the opportunity when we don't open His Word. It gives us also a greater knowledge to apply to situations in order to get wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to take the knowledge God has given us and apply it to a circumstance, to a situation that comes up in our life. A new circuit through space, a new circuit through God's Word, a new calendar with 2022 on it, and hopefully some nice looking pictures, not of cats. I can't wait to see how I'll trade with you. I can't wait to see how the Lord is going to bless this year. I really can't, considering this last year. Now, I want to tell you about something. If you get your excitement, if you get your good news from the world, you're going to be waiting a long time. And you're going to have a bad attitude, and you're going to gripe and complain a lot if you're depending on the world to give you what only God's Word can. You see, if we're focused on the world, the world's going to, I'm going to tell you something. The world's going to get worse and worse, 2 Timothy 3 says. You think last year was bad? You hadn't seen anything yet. Just wait. So put your focus on God, and your whole outlook, your whole attitude completely changes from someone who gets their attitude from the news. And they're aggravated, they're upset, they get ulcers. Not pleasant to be around. But if you'll spend that same amount of time that you used to in the news, put it in God's Word, it'll transform your life, it'll transform your whole outlook on life. That's the very attitude that I see in David here in Psalm 65. He is rejoicing in the Lord's goodness at the end of a year. You've crowned the year. You've finished the year with your goodness, David says to the Lord. He says to the Lord here in thanksgiving and praise. He's looking back at the year. He's acknowledging problems and difficulties and challenges. Verse 3, he said, iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. But he acknowledges those problems in the presence of God. He takes his complaint to the Lord in prayer. He pours his heart out to him, and he comes away with a completely different viewpoint. We gripe and complain if it's 80 degrees in the winter and have to mow the grass in shorts. That'll scare you if you're not prepared for it. Not calling any names since this is on YouTube. And we'll probably be there forever. That's scary, isn't it? We complain if it's 80 degrees, and then we gripe and complain if it's 30 degrees in the winter. We do so because we can't control it. Like you try to do with the church thermostats, just like you're on the building and grounds ministry, like you're the only person in the building. You notice how I put that way after the introduction. It's going to be a long way, so it's called sandwiching. I have to check myself also. Yeah, see, you can hear the murmuring. I have to check myself also when it comes to technology. This morning is a perfect example of why I feel like I do about technology. It very seldom ever works like you want it to work. And just like the weather, I don't care what anybody says, you can't control it. So I check myself about that area, and if I don't, my wife will for me. So when I remember calling a business and a person, an actual live person, would answer the phone. And they spoke English. And they could answer your question or at least transfer you to somebody who could. 5 minutes, you're done. Now, with labor-saving and time-saving technology, it takes 5 minutes just to listen to the recorded message to give you all of the numbers to press for all the different foreign languages that are available to you to use. And then when you press English, after another 30 to 45 minutes wait, you get someone who doesn't understand English on the other side. Then there's GPS. If I would have turned every time GPS said to turn, my insurance rate would be through the roof. We were somewhere where I had no clue that I was where I was at, turned on GPS. They said, turn left, and it was a pasture. Your destination is on the left. I said, I'm not visiting a cow. It was a quarter mile back that I'd already passed. And we're going to have cars without drivers that are controlled by GPS. I'm getting a horse. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I have to quote that verse quite a bit. But I don't see this kind of complaining here in Psalm 65. Instead, I see David's way to approach the Lord with our concerns, with our problems, with our challenges, with our difficulties. Verses 1 to 4. Verse 1, I see praise. Praise waits for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. Praise. Verse 2, I see prayer. O thou that hears prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. And forgiveness in verse 3, after he acknowledges the iniquities, forgiveness through the work of atonement of Christ on the cross. And then after salvation, the work of the Holy Spirit in sanctification in us. I see calling, fellowship, worship in verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. God calls us into a spiritual vocation that he has equipped and gifted us to do, to carry out his overall will and purpose in the time and place that he has placed us in. He calls us. There's a calling on each of our lives that are saved. There's a fellowship with the Lord there. There's a communion with the Lord, the source of the enabling ability to do what he's called us to do. I see worship in his house. Nothing can substitute worship together with other believers in a church family. Nothing. Then in verses 5 to 8 is the Lord's response and answer. Verse 5, by terrible things and righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are far off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stills the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens, at thy signs. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening, to rejoice. Now, keep your finger there and go back to our reading in Deuteronomy 11. We saw the very same thing there. Moses has assembled the people of God in the plains of Moab at the east bank of the Jordan River. And this is the second generation. And so what he's doing in Deuteronomy, it's a series of eight sermons that he preaches to the children of Israel there in the plains of Moab. And he looks back at the first generation to the wilderness years. And then he looks forward to the promised land years. He's preparing them to begin a new chapter in their lives. And he's reminding them that they're going into this new life, and they're doing so with God's provision, with God's presence, with God's promise, and with God's protection. God's provision is in verse 11. He said, "The land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinks water of the rain of heaven." Verse 12, God's presence, a land which the Lord thy God cares for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year, even unto the end of the year. His promise is in verse 14, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. That's his promise. And then his protection in verse 23. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Now they were going into a physical land. The covenant with Abraham is a physical covenant of possession of the land. And that's why 1948 was so significant. It proves that God's word is correct and always will be. Israel is back in the land and will be there regardless of the will of Arab nations surrounding it and the left in the West, who also agree with the Arab nations. Israel will be there according to God's will. But the land where the Lord leads us to is a spiritual place. It's a spiritual place of this same provision, of this same presence, of this same promise, and of this same protection from the Lord. He leads us into this place of usefulness. He leads us into a place where his will is carried out and he's glorified from our lives. And other people in our lives are affected positively in what the Lord is doing with us. They get exposed to an invisible being. They hear from a being that they cannot hear from. They experience a difference in their life from someone they can't even imagine. But through us, they get a understanding of who Jesus Christ is. They hear his words. They experience his actions through us. And that's exactly what we have back in Psalm 65. Then in verses 5 through 8, then in verses 9 to 13 is thanksgiving for the harvest. Verse 11, back in our text, thou crownest the year with thy goodness. We see the Lord's prize, a crown for the year, goodness for us, his people. One day, We're going to receive crowns, the Bible says, for our service, or we're going to suffer the loss of those crowns. A crown is a symbol of authority. Kings are crowned. That means they are given responsibility. They're given authority. Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He said, "All authority is given unto me. Go ye therefore in that authority, in that power. When you pray, pray under the authority of the name of Jesus Christ." The crown he gives us is authority. The crown that he gives us at the judgment seat of Christ is an authority, a position in the kingdom. And then what we're going to do with those crowns is cast them back at his feet in worship and in recognition that he and he alone is worthy to receive all glory and honor and praise. But a crown here in verse 11 is the top, like the crown of a head. It's the top. It's the ending of the year. And the ending of the year here is with an abundant harvest. We see not only his prize, but we see in verse 11 his paths. He said, "Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness." It shows us where walking with the Lord and in his will lead us to. He leads me beside the still waters. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He restores my soul. Fatness is the opposite of leanness. Pharaoh saw, remember, 7 fat cows and 7 lean cows. Plenty versus want. And then in verses 12 and 13, we see the Lord's pastures. Are you working to obtain an incorruptible crown? Are you serving the Lord with a zeal, knowing that we'll stand before him one day? Are you walking in his paths, in the way that he leads rather than the way we want to go? And then, are you enjoying the Lord's pastures, or are you starving to death in the world's pastures? Verse 12, he said, verse 11, his paths drop fatness. Verse 12, they drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. You see, God's providence is here. God's working in the lives of those that belong to him. Wealthy lady was walking in her gardens with a friend, and the friend looked around and she said, "Oh, Ethel, how beautiful your flowers are. It looks like someone just waved a magic wand over your gardens here to produce these flowers." And about that time, her gardener, which overheard the conversation, said, "Yes, that's exactly what happened, and the wand had a hoe at the end of it." God's providence provides water. God's blessings drop as we are obedient and faithful to him. They drop upon the pastures in the wilderness. But I notice that the pastures are in the wilderness, not in the backyard. I notice that the pastures are clothed with flocks of sheep. The temptation after an abundant harvest, or after a season of revival and blessings, the temptation is to do as the rich farmer did that we saw a few weeks ago. Build bigger barns and sit back and take our ease. The problem with that is there won't be an abundant harvest the next year. We cannot live on past blessings. The old store of corn won't last forever if it's not regularly replaced. Prepare in the winter for spring planting and for summer watering so that there will be a fall harvest, so that the end of next year we can again rejoice in the goodness and the blessings of the Lord in the past year. Those flocks that the Lord clothed in the pasture, those flocks need tending to. Those flocks need protecting. And the wool has to be sheared from those sheep. The corn has to be planted and watered by our labor. God provides and blesses so that we can labor with that He's given us. He will not operate our spiritual gifts with us hindering Him from doing so. If we don't take up the blessings that He's given us and labor in His vineyard, there will not be a harvest next year. We are co-laborers together with the Lord. The Lord has promised to do His part, but we have a part in the labor of the Lord. But He's given us all the tools necessary to accomplish it. He's given us the strength and the ability to do so. The Lord has blessed us last year with His goodness. And this morning, I want to acknowledge that. And I want to thank Him for it. For every soul that was saved. For every person who belongs to God, who grew and grew closer to Him and became more Christ-like, who grew in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want to acknowledge that blessing from God and thank Him for it and give Him all the honor and the glory for it and the credit for it. All the glory goes to Him. He's crowned our year with blessings, with a harvest. But don't take it for granted. Don't sit back and wait for Him to do the work next year. That's what He calls us to do. So don't be weary in well-doing. Start the new year off by tapping into His vision and to His dream for our individual lives, of how this year we're going to carry out His will even further than we did last year. Is there a person you have in mind as you pray? Is there a family you have in mind that's in need? Pray that God would lead you to somebody that you can minister the gospel to and minister the love of Jesus Christ to, so that He will, at the end of this year, crown this year with His goodness. And in order to do that, in Psalm 65, we have to start back over at verse 1. The harvest in verses 12 and 13 began in verse 1 with praise and with prayer and with fellowship with the Lord and worship and ministering. We never retire from our spiritual job until the Lord takes us. So there's still work to do because he hasn't taken us yet. So may this year we be busy about the Lord's business. Now, if you've never been born again, if you've never received the life of God into your soul, then you are a child and product of the world, of the lost world, who has no clue about God or about his word or about living this kind of a life. That's why they're so miserable. That's why they're so unhappy and discontent. It has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with the government. It has nothing to do with a job or nothing to do with how poor you are and how much more you need and what you don't have. It has nothing to do with that. That's the world. The emptiness that you feel inside of you is the fact that God's not there. So your greatest need this year and this day is to know God as your Savior and for Him to know you. And it's an amazing thing because the God of heaven invites you to come into Him and be His child. He loves you as an individual that much. I don't see how in the world someone can reject that and stay in misery and heartache and sorrow. I don't understand. But then sin blinds, does it not? But those of you that have received that gift of eternal life, God has a life for you unimaginable. And you don't have to wait for it to get to heaven. That life is available for us here. He said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That life begins now. You can enjoy that while the whole world is in heartache and misery. We can have peace and joy. Look around. But the Lord does not do it for us while we sit on the couch. He says, I've made it available for you. If you'll set your heart, if you'll set your will underneath my will, the Lord says, I've got things available to you that you can't ever even imagine. He said, what I'll do is I'll crown your year with my. Father, we sure do thank you that we can pause and look back at a year that, yes, there's been challenges, there's been difficulties and problems, but Lord, you walked with us right through them. And Lord, you caused us to continually to see your goodness and your great love for us. So we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the abundant harvest that you've given us. May we never take it for granted. And Lord, we look forward to this year. And we pray that each day we would walk that 24 hours with you and be faithful and obedient to your leading and to your will, so that the next day we can continue to do it, and the day after that, until, Lord, it's a habit and there's something missing if we don't do it. Just like when we go a couple of meals without eating, we become weak. Help us, Lord, to not grow weak spiritually. And we dedicate this year and put it into your hands that we would be found faithful to do what you have saved us and called us to do, to carry out the great commission and to enjoy the great commandment to love you and our neighbor. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this church family that you have assembled and put together here. Lord, it's a privilege to be a part of what you're doing here. And the bond and the love that you've placed within this family. Lord, only you could have accomplished something like this. We just simply ask that you continue to do so, Lord. And Lord, that others who need this message would come in contact with some of us and be drawn to you is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed.